Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print-on-demand industry. Broadcasting to you from around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
Hey everybody, welcome back to episode number 37, Merch Lifestyle Podcast. This is Spencer, and today we have a really fun interview with you guys for some folks that we interviewed a little while back. We sat down last Sunday with Chris Bell of New Venture Entrepreneurs and Benjamin Smith, who has his own YouTube channel. We had interviewed both of those guys separately. They're really sharp. They're growing their own print-on-demand businesses, mostly with merch, but they're starting to evolve out of it. And in this interview, Shannon and I get into a lot of different stuff. We talk about our entrepreneurial journey. We talk about merch specifically, where we see it going. We talk about running paid ads. We talk about expanding, and we get really specific on a lot of topics. So we think you guys will really like this one. If you enjoy our conversation with these guys, we will link to their channels in our description for the show notes. Go show them some love. Go check them out. They're sharp guys, and they're giving us a lot of value, and they can give you the same. So without further ado, let's get into the show. We'll cut you right into the interview with Chris Bell and Benjamin Smith. Here we go.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? We're back with another Sunday video, back-to-back videos. As usual, I am here with my friend Ben. Ben, how's everything going?
Things are great. Excited to be here with our guests today.
Awesome. Yeah, so like you said, we have guests. We have Shannon and Spencer from Merch Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you for being here today. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Just got done bike riding for 2 hours straight. So I'm kind of on a biking high. But Spencer, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to reconnect with you guys. It's been a little while. We got a little catching up to do.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I want to give, you know, the audience a little backstory, a little history about you guys. So Shannon, you want to go ahead and talk about, you know, everything about yourself, I guess, like give a little backstory to yourself.
Well, we don't want to know everything about him.
Yeah, I'll edit some of it out. But the good stuff is, let's see here. I started getting into the online world a few years ago and started helping people out with their websites and different businesses out with just their websites. And while I enjoyed doing a lot of that, it was still a lot of work just I felt like I kept experimenting with different business models. So I decided to do some ebook stuff and some other affiliate website stuff on my own, or aside from the client-based work. And that's kind of how, or what Spencer and I started working on together, since he lived just a block away from me. And so we would have, you know, Saturdays where he would come over and we'd cook up a pot of tea or coffee or whatever, and we'd just blog all day long and create our affiliate sites. And nice. As we kept doing that, I still kept trying different things. And one day, you know, I heard about this Merch by Amazon thing. And to be honest, I thought it was like one of those get rich quick schemes, or just like, I wasn't too sure about it. But since
sounds
it was
to be true, I guess, huh?
Yeah, exactly. There are these people doing incredible numbers, and I just thought this is, I don't know what this is about. I never saw myself as a t-shirt maker, but I'm like, well, let me just see what happens if I upload a design. And so I applied in like October, maybe it was September of 2016, and got accepted in October. And then, you know, upload a few designs and then got a few sales, and I just was blown away. I couldn't believe it. And then upload a few more designs and was like, wow, this is actually working. I don't get it, but it's working somehow. And
or the holiday season might be.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. November, December, you know, brought in that extra traffic and also that extra confidence that I needed to continue. So I told Spencer about it in January, and it's been an adventure ever since. So, yeah, Spencer, I guess maybe this is a good time for me to transition to how you got into it. I don't know.
Sure. So Shannon's my gateway drug to print on demand. Like you said, we had been messing around with lots of different things. We did a fun episode together where we talked about like eight different times we've we've started businesses and then changed directions on them. Like
I've had that same feeling. It's
funny with like serial entrepreneurs. Some people think that that's just because people can't stick with something. I see that as a way to just learn really quickly. So after I experimented with like a drone business, a website building business, et cetera, Shannon kind of got me into print on demand through Merch by Amazon. And really what the problem solves with print on demand is you don't have to do the inventory investment of FBA. You can test it without a lot of capital. You're not making a big investment. You're not opening up brick and mortar. So I thought, hey, that's pretty cool if we can go try something and be profitable quickly. A couple months later, saw some really good success on Merch by Amazon with not what I thought was not a lot of effort. And then I started to thinking about other platforms outside of Merch. And then lately my thinking, what I've been trying a lot of things in is, you know, we don't just sell t-shirts. And Chris, I know you and I have talked about this when you came on the show. We don't just sell t-shirts. We have expertise in like creating digital assets and distributing them and building brands. So that has me on a lot of platforms outside of Merch, thinking about other platforms like Etsy, Redbubble, and then recently doing some brand building and trying to launch my own store. And then doing a little bit of merchandising services through like WooCommerce and Shopify. So super excited about print on demand. And there's like so much we could talk about today, whether it's merch or other things. So happy to go into whatever you want.
Oh yeah. I feel like you guys both have like very unique strategies. I've been listening to a lot of the podcasts still and just kind of hearing about how, especially branching off platform, which I feel like a lot of people that seems to be kind of the trend as they get to a certain level with merch, they start going into these other platforms. And that's really where it seems like you kind of exponentially start growing the business a little bit more. So definitely excited to get into that stuff too.
Cool.
Yeah. And if you think about it, I mean, you say we keep jumping from one thing to another. We're just bringing our expertise from one platform to the next thing. Like I did eBay for a while. And then from there, I just jumped to like Shopify. And then I did Merch by Amazon, like so many other things. I just brought that knowledge that I had from the previous platform to somewhere else. You know, that it is what it is. That's just what happens pretty much. It sounds like Shannon, you are the one that kind of like initially started this whole entrepreneur stuff. So how old were you when you say you got that entrepreneur bug?
Well, I don't know. I think I've probably always had it. I just started like, I don't know. When I started, I sold books door to door, this crazy like college internship job where like we would go to a different city and we would work and we'd just sell, knock on doors and sell books to families about, you know, that just educational books kind of thing. And then from there, you know, I was in the Army, so I went to Iraq in 2007 to 2008. And then when I came back, I got my finance degree. But while I was in college finishing that, I started a video production company and we did videos for businesses for television and then for their websites as well. And then I was like putting in 80 to 100 hours a week, just getting burnt out from that and thought, you know, I had three employees like full time and it was just, I needed to transition to figure something out that was a little more efficient or a little more, I guess, easygoing or like help align me with things that I wanted to finally achieve in my own personal life in the future. So I transitioned into doing websites and, you know, the rest, I guess, is history. And it's been an interesting ride and it's not even over by any means yet. You know, it's just getting started. So, so that's kind of my background.
So Spencer, what do you have yourself into right now as far as like businesses that you got going on?
Sure. One of the things that Shannon and I started doing was doing income reports, kind of as a personal accountability thing, but also some transparency and to teach people, you know, to kind of pull the curtain back and be like, there's a lot of sources of information out there for almost anything, not just print on demand. So I wanted to just open it up and say, look, this is the real deal. Some months suck. Some months are great. Like, here's how it's working. Here's what it is. So just off the top of my head, like Amazon is the bulk of my income right now, but I really want to get away from that. My margins on there are pretty low because I do scale designs. So they're 15% or under. And then I'm on Etsy. So this month so far on Etsy, we've done about $650 in revenue off one store. So we might shake out to do like $700 or $800 in profit on Etsy this month, which I'm really like, I really want to grow Etsy fast. Two stores I have are only a couple months old and I see a lot of potential with that platform. One fun thing is like white labeling white labeling print on demand services. So I partner with a couple YouTubers who have awesome content, but they don't really have the expertise to merchandise. And I just white label Printful and help them curate a catalog, help them market, and then they drive their customers to my site, and then we take a margin on the product. So that business is cool, and we're getting like really good feedback about the customer service and the product quality. And that's a bit hands-free, which still fits kind of in like the model.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really cool one. And I think that if you've listened to like the strategy that Mike Wall had, where he does kind of local merch for businesses, yeah. I want to get more into like the B2B. How do I get those bulk orders? How do I stop referring my friends and family to Custom Ink when they want bulk shirt orders? So trying to figure that out. And then I guess the last thing is just kind of figuring out which platforms to focus on and what products. So the bulk of my Etsy store is like printed products and posters, for example. It's not t-shirts, it's not apparel. So trying to figure out the right mix and really trying to figure out how to build an actual brand and navigating how to like launch that, whether it's Shopify or WooCommerce, and actually drive organic traffic is my current project. I think like as we mentioned in the beginning of the episode, merch is kind of like easy POD. It's all there for you. You just upload designs. You start getting into like Etsy or something, maybe you've got to do some mock-ups and some customer service. And then the ultimate goal, which is, and these get harder as you go, but the profit potential is better, is having your own brand, having your own customers, remarketing, all that stuff. So wow. That's what I'm into and what I want to get to.
Down perfectly, by the way. That's exactly like, I've been trying to think about how to mentally piece those stages together. I feel like that makes a lot of sense, is that it's so easy to start on something like merch. And where you just get a royalty, you put a design up and get a royalty. And then it's like, exactly, Etsy, maybe a few of the other sites, you have to do a little bit more legwork. And then eventually it's build your entire brand, drive your own traffic, like, which is the ultimate end goal, right? Because that's, you can control a lot more stuff. But
now you said that you want to take a step back from Merch by Amazon. Is it because you really just want to put more focus on your other things? I mean, to me, merch is just like passive income in a way. You just put your stuff up. So what's your end goal with merch? What do you want to do with that?
Honestly, it's just about like where I'm trying to choose to spend my time. My margins on Etsy are 40%. My margins on merch are 15%. And like right now I'm doing these scale designs, right? So I'll go take a concept and bang out like a couple hundred SKUs and just random design. Like I'm not really in the game of trying to do really high quality designs on that platform. So for me, when I think about like, what am I doing? Like, I have 4,700 SKUs up there, but they're all just like scattershot, right? They make sales, but I don't get any data. I don't know who my customer is, and I don't make a lot of margin on it. So sure. And Shannon, maybe you can chime in on this because you have a good team set up, but if I can scale more products on merch and fill the tier, I think we're on 8K now. I need to fill that up, but like, sure, it's automatic, but right now I'm trying to spend my time where the margins tell me to go. Merch would be part of that journey, but it's not really strategic in my opinion, unless you have a way to just scale it like really cheaply, which is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Shannon, are you also, staying primarily on merch, or are you starting to expand off as well?
So yeah, merch, I think like Spencer just said, is like the base sort of platform where I think everything starts and like, right. It's a great place to get into niches that, you know, you can make some money from. But then I've also, I have an Etsy store, and then I also sell a decent amount on Shopify. On Shopify, but on Seller Central and all those other sales channels come back to my Shopify store. And, you know, when a product goes out, it goes out with like a slip of paper that says, hey, come to my Shopify store and get a 50% off coupon for anything that you want, or some sort of incentive. Yeah, some sort of incentive to get them back to, and 10% isn't usually enough, but something to bring them back to your store to show, you know, to get them on your email list so you can continue to remarket. Something that Merch by Amazon you can't do. You just cannot. There's no way to do it. So that's
the inserts. Is that something that your these other like print on demand companies are doing for you, I'm assuming? Or
how
does that kind of work?
Yeah, in fact, it's funny. When I started doing this, I'm still using T-Launch, third party supplier out of South Dakota, but they were not providing any sort of inserts into their the products that went out. And I was like, I just bugged them and bugged them and bugged them and said, hey, you want me to stay with you? Sure. Not that I'm doing very much volume, but
I remember when you sent that email, you were fired up. You were like, I'm going to get the CEO's email. I found it on LinkedIn and I'm going to email him right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And finally, and I mean, it didn't take but maybe 4 or 5 months until they announced like they were including inserts. And I mean, you can only include like maybe a sentence or two, in, you know, but it's enough to get your message out and get to get people coming back to your site.
I hope you're getting some kind of royalty for suggesting that.
I wish. I should. That'll be my next email.
Yeah. Where's my check?
Yeah. So, you know, another reason I really like working on the other platforms is because I can, it's within the terms of service to allow somebody to log into my account and upload right. for me. And Merch by Amazon, let's just say you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
And, so I do like that.
I've been actually reading the terms of service for the different platforms. Like I just started selling on Redbubble and, Teespring, and you already know I do Etsy and, Spreadshirt. So yeah, I did read those, that part of their terms of service, and they do allow you know, people to log in as long as you, some of it will say like, as long as you kind of specify what this person is doing on there, but you know, people could probably just log in easily. Yeah, but you're right. Merch by Amazon does not allow that, and even says in their terms of service that at this moment we don't allow it, but that doesn't say in the future we may. They say something along the lines of that, so that may be something right. they may open up eventually. I feel like Amazon just keeps, you know, growing and just putting more features on their platform that you can't really stop now because you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Totally. What do you guys think about Merch by Amazon? Like, where does that fit into your strategy?
Chris, you want to
well,
go?
I'm still growing it. I currently have, I'm still on tier 500, so I'm still growing the platform. You know, if I were getting tired of it or it just doesn't fit my game plan, I wouldn't want to just scrap it off totally because, like I said before, it's just you have your designs up and you're making sales easily. Like, mm-hmm. for example, my eBay business, I haven't really touched that business in like, I don't know, about 4 or 5 months. But I'm still making sales because I'd put in all the upfront work. So, every day or so, I'm making some sales. And that's kind of how I see Merch by Amazon maybe in the future. I just want, if I don't want it to touch it, I just want it to, you know, make sales for me. I don't really want to scrap it off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd say my goal is, I still feel like I'm at the point where, you know, I'm at tier 1,000 right now. So I feel like, and I've only had maybe 550 designs left. So I do feel like I still have a lot of work to do on this platform specifically. And my kind of goal, immediate goal, I guess, would be to get up to about $500 to $1,500 at least. That's kind of a steady income. And the reason I have that number in mind is because, to be honest, I actually want to create a Shopify niche POD store. And I think at $500, you have enough to kind of do a, you know, cover all the basics, cover like your, like I have a Seller Central account, that's $40. I have a Shopify store account's what, $30 a month or something, like, mm-hmm. and then have leftover money to run, do $5 a day Facebook ad tests. That's kind of like my next immediate goal. And I think that's achievable, like with print on demand easily, probably with the number of designs I have now, as long as I can get them on all the other platforms, optimize them. So I feel like I have some more work, but
yeah, I mean, to your point, Ben, I mean, I agree with that. I feel like Amazon is a great place to like test different niches. So I am kind of thinking about putting another Etsy store or making another Etsy store based off the information that I get from merch. So I have like my overall variety store like on Amazon, and I also have one on Etsy right now. But if I get enough sales in one niche, of course, I'm going to try to make a niche store on my Etsy account.
Yeah. So Shannon Spencer, if you guys like had to start over like right now, would you still start with merch, or do you think you guys would start, you know, on Etsy or a different channel, or mm-hmm. jump right into Shopify and building a brand? I'm just kind of curious, like, to get that feedback.
Mm. Okay, sure, I'll take a shot at that. For me, like, Etsy is number one. If I knew what I knew today, I would start on there because a couple reasons. One, they give you a lot of data on your customers, and if you're trying to run Facebook ads, Part of how you can target your audience is by not only growing an email list by pack-ins, or you can even link your email list on your Etsy store. So you get people to sign up that way, but you can also, I believe it's within terms of service, to take the emails of the customers you have and then plug that into Facebook to build up
a
profile too. I would like somebody to, with more knowledge on that, to double check on whether or not that's within the bounds of the game, but that's my understanding of it. So Etsy gives you the data. Only 15% of people on there, of sellers, actually run promoted listings, which you can drive sales with 15 cents cost per click. Like, I have mine open right now, and if I just pull up last month's stats, we drove $700 of revenue with $80 of I think that was me. $700 revenue with $80 in ad spend. Wow. Where it's just like set it and forget it. And that's just promoted listings automatic at like 16 cents a pop. So it's easy to get started. Like, you can kind of be a wolf in sheep's clothing a little bit, because there's a lot of mom and pop sellers that like pack and ship stuff in their house. And I mean, Etsy allows you to sell through a print on demand company, like, as long as you're taking care of customers. So I would start there, because the margins are good and you can really delight your customers and build a brand there.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think for me, Etsy is such an easy platform to get into, and, you know, they help you and make things just really easy for you. In fact, I wish that Etsy's platform is what Amazon and their Seller Central, like their back end, would show and be. So I make, you know, a decent amount of sales from the Seller Central side of things. So for me, it'd be between Etsy and Seller Central. I really have done a decent amount of sales there, and it will probably do better than my Etsy store throughout the rest of this year for sure. So unless I put a bunch of extra time into Etsy, but I'd say between Etsy and Seller Central, they're both really good. But you know, I mean, there's nothing. You can't take away the fact that Merch by Amazon is the most simple and straightforward platform out there. I mean,
right.
And easiest to get sales probably from. So, I mean, it's create a design, upload the design, next. And it's just simple is good for someone that is starting out. Mm-hmm. And I probably, you know, knowing what I know now, Seller Central or Etsy, you know, but if I didn't know anything, if I didn't have any experience over these last couple of years, I probably would start over with Merch by Amazon, because
fair enough.
It just makes so much sense. So
that's where all the customers are.
Exactly.
Now, to go back to your point, Spencer, about running ads on Etsy, are you running ads on all of your listings, or do you have a certain amount that you're running ads to?
Most of them. Because what I'm trying to do with that is Etsy gives you analytics on what orders sell from ads. And they also tell you what search term. I'm looking at it right now, so forgive me if I'm looking away from the camera. But like on my top, I'll just sort by revenue. And if I go by my top selling listing, I can go click on searched terms. And it says, okay, here's what buyers searched for. And here's your click-through rate. So I want to take that information from ads and then recycle that into my new product listings and get smarter over time with it.
Just match it with you. Like, this is what the customer searched, and then this is what you have in your title and in your tags that matches what they searched.
Yeah,
so that's what I love about Etsy too.
Yeah, and it's not keyword stuffing. Like, you write the listing in a way that's readable, in a way that gets across the point to the buyer. But Etsy's like, they really don't. They're very transparent, I think, about how you can drive people to your listing.
Yeah, I love that. But the thing is, it can just like add up. I mean, like, I have an item that has a lot of demand, but it doesn't really convert that well. So I'm just getting like a lot of clicks on it, and it's just the ad spin will raise, but I'm not making much sales on it. So it happens, you know.
Yeah, and you can shut those down. Like, it's just a little toggle. Or you can drop the cost per click on those. You can even sort by like which ones aren't performing well, and you can be like, all right, well, that traffic's not converting, so I'll just cut the cost per click in half and we'll let it ride and just see if it converts. And if not, shut it down. Like,
you know what's funny? When you mentioned that, I did that because my cost per click had raised to about like 50 cents, I think. So I went and took it down to 20 cents per click, and it had like that big caution sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, well, can I still caution? Don't pay us a lot of money.
Yeah. So it was a little weird. Like, I didn't know what. I didn't know if it was still working or not. But apparently it is. So I'm still getting some clicks.
Yeah. What's the last thing I'll say about Etsy ads is that more money doesn't necessarily, or more cost per click doesn't necessarily translate to more sales. Like, actually, this month I bumped up my spending to $5 a day, and of course Etsy's like, they're maxing me out, $5 a day on ad spend. But but my orders, like, I haven't driven an order from an ad in a week, right? And then when I look at last month, and this might be seasonality or random chance, but on average, I was pinging an order every 2 days last month with a lower cost per click. So there is a sweet spot, and I think that is like between 16 and 18 cents, like depending on your niche. So more money doesn't equal more success.
Are you running sales along with your ads as well, or do you just do one or the other?
Yeah, I had a cool, I had some cool success with like a small, just a really small Instagram page. I had a customer who liked the product. She said, "Are you on Instagram?" I said, "No, but I will be." Put one up there. She shared it with her friends and like, okay, now you have like 20 followers. And then I put a simple 10% off coupon along with a picture of our product. And it drove 20% of the sales last month for that store. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Maybe Instagram is something we should take a little more seriously. So that's all part of the brand building story, like getting people engaged and happy and having that social proof kind of thing it's working. I want to learn more about it.
Now, are either of you guys playing around with AMS yet? I don't like any of the merch ads or not really.
No, I was before it was shut down, and I don't know. But since it got, you know, started up again, I haven't touched it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was profitable before, but I think my campaigns got killed or something, and I haven't really. I haven't made it a priority with some of the other stuff going on, but I do think people should be on there, especially if you're trying to play the tier up game. Like that's, and you can at least get it to break even. It's a sales accelerator, right? It can get you there faster.
I'm excited for it, man. I got my code the other day. I'm so excited for it, but of course I have to wait. I applied and then I just have to wait to hear back from them, but I'm super excited for it. So I understand how that game kind of works. You know, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I kind of get it. You start with something and then you learn what works and what doesn't, and then you just adjust from there, but keep it going the whole entire time. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited for it though.
Yeah.
Cool.
Should we jump in back to merch, switch gears and talk about our sales and numbers?
Yeah, sure. So usually every time in our videos, we talk about our sales. We'll talk about what tier we're on, how many live listings we have, how many sales we made, and we pretty much talk about any strategies that we had throughout last week. So Benj, you want to go ahead and start on that one?
Yeah, I'm going to start. I'll try to breeze through this because I really want to hear what you guys are all doing. But I'm on tier 1,000. I have 550 live. I sold 21 this week and I got hit with 4 returns, which literally doubled my return counts, which is a little frustrating.
Sucks.
But of those 21 sold, they're spread across 17 different shirts. So I've still been focused a lot on evergreen shirts, as I've been saying. Haven't been doing probably as much as I should with trends and holidays. So that's positive to me, though. I prefer doing the evergreen stuff. And as far as just kind of what I focused on this week, I actually went back through all my existing shirts, which fortunately I only have 550, probably a lot less than you guys. So that was fairly manageable and just kind of tweaked all my prices across the board, tweaked all the keywords in any of the shirts that weren't selling, and just kind of optimized them from there. So cool. That's my summary pretty much. But Chris, I want to hear from you.
Yeah, so I'm still on tier 500. I currently have 472 live listings up right now. I did have 500 before, but like what Ben's saying, I just went through all my listings. I also took down some things that I knew were not going to sell just because my designer is still pumping out new designs every single week for me. So I did take some things down. Sales were a little bit light last week. I only made 8 sales, so it's pretty light. But that was over 6 different products. I did sell a hoodie. I did sell a long sleeve shirt.
Nice.
And I'm making some pretty decent sales with PopSockets. I don't know if you guys are on PopSockets at all, but they're doing pretty well for me. And then the strategy that I kind of started last week was using Pinterest a little bit more. And there's so many different, you know, social media sites you can go to for your business. So me and Ben spoke about Amazon Spark. So I did do that a little bit, and I also went into Pinterest and started uploading or at least following some people and pinning some links on there. So we'll see what happens. So that's pretty much all that I did last week. So what about you guys?
Well, I want to ask you guys real quick before we get into merch. So, like, Ben, with yours, so you're, are you just doing t-shirts, or do you see any success with hoodies, or do you just, how do you manage kind of the product mix, or are you going to get into those when you tier up a little bit more and have more slots?
Yeah, it's, you know, I actually really highly suggest for anyone who hasn't, but going back through your products and just like looking at them and kind of revisiting them, because it gave me like a clear sense of actually what I do have live. I actually realized I don't have a huge mix of designs. Like a lot of the designs I used, what's that Chrome extension that it'll open four tabs up and then change out the products. Merch Buddy, is that it?
I use Merch Informer's Merch Lister Pro, I think.
Okay.
They also have Merch Buddy as well.
I think Merch Buddy. But so to answer your question, I have maybe like 100, I have 50 pop sockets live, and then maybe like another 50 to 75 that are spread across like sweatshirts and t-shirts. And I think I've sold 2 long sleeve shirts and 1 hoodie and no pop sockets yet. So okay. Yeah, it's mostly standard t-shirts right now. Chris, I don't know about what you're doing with that, but.
Same here. I mean, I'm selling mostly standard shirts, and like yeah. I said, I have a couple of sales in for pop sockets. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. I'm not really selling that many hoodies or sweatshirts. I think I've only sold 1 hoodie so far, and then I also have sold, at this point, I sold about 2 long sleeve shirts. Other than that, I just upload really 2 standard shirts, and I just make sales from that, really.
What about you guys? Have you had any success? Also kind of speaking strategy too, which I'm sure we'll get into more, but for each design, are you always putting that on like every available product type, or what's kind of the thought there?
Mine is, yeah. Since they opened up the new markets in the UK and Germany and tiered me up beyond, like after a certain point, like you get to a tier 1,000 and then you start getting up there, and then it almost seems like Amazon's giving you this incentive to just put everything out there. So that's what we've been doing. I don't have the expertise or the resources or the process or the funds to pay designers to get 8,000 unique designs up there. I'm sure I would do well with that, but it's that machine is not built yet. So I'll even do like Photoshop automation, where you are using a data sets and variables to just line up a list of terms to swap out yeah, it's cool. And
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah. It's like kind of a new thing, right? Because I'm really cheap and I don't want to pay for work if I can figure out a way to automate it. So anyway, like, yeah, I'm blasting things out on sweatshirts, hoodies, and long sleeves. Haven't touched pop sockets. I've definitely seen long sleeves and those warmer products pick up like this season, though. They account for a decent amount of sales.
I've heard that hoodies do pretty well around this time. Not so much the sweaters, but I could be wrong. This is just what I heard, though, about the hoodies.
Shannon, are you the same, or what about you?
Yeah, we upload to all of the different products, except for we haven't done any pop sockets yet, and haven't really uploaded to any other countries yet either. But not that I'm opposed to it, I just haven't done it yet. So,
yeah.
It's weird because with like Merch by Amazon, I've only sold like in the last month, sold like 1 product that wasn't a standard or premium shirt. Which is like a sweatshirt, I think. 0 hoodies. But on my Seller Central side of things, hoodies is pretty much all we sell. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know why, but I'm all right with it, I guess.
Totally.
So. Yeah. So I can go ahead with numbers if you.
Yeah.
If you
want. Perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm on tier 6,000, and hate prefacing this, but I'm going to anyway. With the content policy that happened a couple months ago with no premium, you know, not don't describe the shirt rules, you know, right. What I'm talking about.
We took women, men's, or kids. You can't put that in the listing or something like that.
Yeah, and anything that's dealing, you can't describe the shirt. You can only describe the design.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we have these new scary rules, but we're not going to tell you what they are. So thanks.
Yeah, exactly. So we took down 2,400
cool
products from Merch by Amazon because we were describing the products the way that I felt we should be describing them, like size up for a looser fit. Amazon's not saying that, so why shouldn't we? And so now, you know, now we get penalized for that kind of thing, but whatever. So, you know, roll with the punches, right? So there's that. But so now so we're tier 6,000. We have 1,194 live designs. And in the last 7 days, Ben, I'm with you. I only have 21 sales. And this one return. So that is it. But you know, in Seller Central we have 21 sales as well.
Nice.
And
much better margins, I'm assuming, in Seller Central.
Yeah, you know, 30%, 25-30% about nice. There. So that's pretty good there. I enjoy Seller Central a lot.
So is your main kind of strategy right now to put, like, it sounds like you guys are kind of focusing a little bit more attention on other platforms. And so I guess, you know, Shannon, for you right now, is it more your focus to push everything to Seller Central? Or, you know, I obviously know you have a lot of projects going on right now, which you could probably get into. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious, like, where your head's at, what strategies you're kind of implementing.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, most of my time goes into Merch Along, our software that helps with print on demand organization. And so that's where the majority, that's exactly where my head is at. So I do have a team or a couple of people that, you know, my designer and someone creating content and stuff for our designs in Merch Along, like constantly working in there. And then I can go and just upload from there. And that's working well, but I don't get to do it. You know, I don't always get around to uploading every day, so it just is what it is. So
Merch Along,
you know, now we have customers on Merch Along, so it's not, I can't just ignore that or just put that on the back burner. That has to be like kind of my front and main focus. So, and I'm happy to make it that because it's a lot of fun, so it's growing. So
cool.
Spencer, how about you?
Let's see, on Merch or Amazon.com, 112 sold with 11 returns. It's like 10% return rate. That's garbage. Wow. Because on my merchandising services, I run through Printful. I haven't had a single return, and we've done over 100 orders with that. So it's you know, that it's tough to be an Amazon seller. But those royalties from .com are $363 over the last 7 days, and then 4 Germany sales for about $25. So we might come out around $1,500 this month, which is lower than the last 2 months. But like we've talked about, the focus is elsewhere. So okay with that. The amount live, let me get to that. 4,721 live, but that might sound bigger than it is. It's just like, I will put up hundreds of just scaled stuff and I price them low. And I'm just like, okay, like when I go through, the only work I do on merch is I'll roll through, I'm looking at my products sold. Okay, long sleeve shirt, I made 61 cents. Sweatshirt, I made $1.08. So now I'll go into those. I'll bump the price up. So I want to make at least $3 a sale. And then we just rinse and repeat on that. So it's not that intelligent. I wish there were more tools to play with bulk pricing. Again, it's not the right platform for that kind of stuff.
And now, so what about off of merch? If you're comfortable talking about just some basic numbers there. I'm really curious.
Sure.
I mean, touched on Etsy, but also on the what you're doing with the YouTube influencers and kind of how that works, how that looks for you. If you could get into that a little more.
Absolutely. Etsy, I'll just do this month so far on Etsy, $662 in revenue on one store.
Awesome.
And let me sign out. So like Chris mentioned, you can have multiple Etsy stores. You just have to disclose them in like your personal bio, which is not that hard to do. So I have a catch-all. And then you can have niche down stores from there. So the niche down store did that 660. And then I'm logging in to see my catch-all store. And let's see what that did this month. I do like on Etsy, it just runs itself, right? If you pick the right supplier.
Yeah, fully automated. Do you use Printful for...
I'm using them mostly right now, but I'm also doing this series of reviews where I compare them to like Printify, Custom Cat, all those other ones to see who's shaking out best. And for what I'm using, they're taking care of me so far. The revenue on the catch-all store is $105. So Etsy might be good for $750 in profit this month. And then I'm logging into my influencer site. I really only have one creator right now who has a good audience, but he's got a really engaged audience, and we're launching some new products with him, and he kind of launches these music mixes, and we time up merchandise releases to go with his mixes. And this month we have, I don't have a good analytics plugin I'm paying for right now, but it looks like maybe 16 different orders this month with like an average cart value of maybe $40.
Wow. Ah.
So
now, are you doing Shopify with that? Or are you creating like WordPress websites with that?
Yeah, I'm testing WooCommerce out with a WordPress backend. And WooCommerce is good. It's more manual. I like that you can customize it more, but on my next store that I'm going to launch for my, like taking my Etsy brand over, that's going to be Shopify. And I just want to play with both of them and see which I like better. So WooCommerce does what I need it to do. It integrates well with email marketing. The flow of checkout is, it works. You can do everything from collecting sales tax to offering different shipping options. It's very powerful, but it definitely takes some knowledge of like how to run a WordPress site, how to install plugins, how to really get into the weeds. And I like that Shopify has a really, WooCommerce makes money by like, you pay for these upgrades. Like, hey, buy this shipping plugin, buy this like experience enhancer. And Shopify makes money with the subscription. Shopify has a lot more developers, a lot more of a bigger ecosystem of like plugins. So that's what I'm going to try next, and we'll see which one shakes out to be the best.
Now, you guys have so much stuff going on. I kind of want to hear like your guys' workflow, like your back end. Like, how many people do you have working on your team? And like, what's your process like from, what's your everyday like? What do you?
Everything is on fire and it's fine. Go ahead, Shannon.
Let's see here. So mainly, you know, like I said earlier, my main focus is Merch Along. So it's working with, I have a couple of developers that I work with on a day-to-day basis, and we're constantly talking and trying to figure out what to do next and how to do it and what's the best way to serve our customers. And that's how that works. So when I'm not working on that, I'm talking to my content person or designer about, you know, I'm trying to make sure those things are moving forward. And then, you know, we're uploading designs to different platforms, checking on status. Yeah, just trying to move those things forward. And then there's other things like, you know, I have an affiliate site that I'm trying to grow. And I'm also helping out with my girlfriend's site as well. So, it's just, there's always a list. It's a list of nonstop, you know, and then you have to find time to like stay healthy and get to the gym or go for a run and eat food. Yeah. Eat food is like actually necessary, but I wish that it wasn't, because I'd be so much more productive.
And you
have to sleep, you have to enjoy life there. You have to like actually schedule those things in, you know? So like I did this completely random thing with my girlfriend on Saturday where we went to this Papa festival, Eastern, a couple hours east of Cincinnati, which is this type of fruit that is very, that's like very not, it's not known to by a lot of people that aren't in this area, but, and they're just, it's just weird. So anyway, you got to plan out your fun and like do some random things sometimes. And so anyway, that's kind of my schedule.
So like, what's your day to day like, Spencer?
It's about focus for me. In the beginning of when I started doing this full time, it was like I was really scatterbrained, and I tried to do everything at once, and it wasn't helpful. We had a guest come on our show, the Mickelson twins, and they used this analogy that was a bit cheesy, but it was good. They said, you know, if you got a watering can and five plants, you've got a, you know, if you, or if it was like something about you split the watering can between all the different plants, they'll die. But if you just water one and take care of it, it'll like, it'll grow. But it, the point is like, if you spread yourself too thin, you're not going to get any kind of meaningful your movement on anything in your business. So right now for me, it's like, I've shut down merch uploading. I've got this, I'm trying to figure out this workflow of like, I want to triple the amount of products on my Etsy store. Cause if I'm profiting like $20 a day on Etsy. I want to move Etsy to beat merch, and I think that's the fastest way for me to grow to my goal of $5,000 a month is through growing Etsy. That's the fastest way. So right now it's like my workflow on creating like a couple hundred products, automating the creation, automating the uploading. I use Merch Along to help me organize it, because as you guys grow into the thousands of designs and different products, like Google Drive did not work for me. And that's part of the reason why Shannon built Merch Along. So I use that to help. And then it's just trying to get those loaded, right? Because there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of analytics that can distract you. Like, I should check on my pay-per-click. Oh, I should make my website better. You know, at the end of the day, what are you uploading? Is it out there and is it selling? So like, I'm trying to get my focus on getting more products up and then learning about brand building when I can, and trying like email marketing and different strategies where it fits in. But right now it's like more products before 4Q, shut down everything else.
Mm-hmm. That's my biggest challenge, is focus. Like I think probably what both of you guys are saying, it's just like focusing on one thing at a time, getting it mm-hmm. from being just a drip of income to getting it to like at least a decent flow, like whatever that means for you, and then adding the next thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's challenging.
There's a lot of shiny objects, man.
I know.
I'm glad to hear that you have an actual goal, like an actual number that you want to hit.
5,000, baby.
Yeah, it puts you on that tunnel vision to that goal. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah, and once you get halfway there, it's like, okay, you know, that number still seems really big for me. But once you get like to 500, your goal is lowered, right, to 4,500. And you just keep inching away at it, and you just keep trying to get that extra 100. And it just adds up. Like, there's no other way to do it. There's no magic POD platform that gets you there. Like, the struggle is real, right? It's hard, but incrementally, like, you put in the work consistently, and that's more than so many people even will try. So we like the journey.
I think too, go ahead, Chris. I was just going to say one quick thing is just like, yeah, if you can get, like, for me, I'm just thinking, okay, if I did like $100 royalty last month on merch. Okay. Well, to get to 500, which is my current goal just on merch, I really just need to do either five times what I just did, or double my royalties and do it two, like one more time. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just think about it like that. And it's the same thing. Like, if you can get to $2,500 with print on demand, there's absolutely no reason you can't get to 5,000. Then once you're at 5,000, you're like, okay, I can easily get to 10,000. Like, I just need to repeat this process.
Yeah. The hardest thing and is in the beginning, like, and we talked about this when Shannon and I's journey, and Shannon, you can hop in, but we were everywhere. We were like, I knocked on the door of the church next door and I tried to sell them a website. I tried to build a drone business. Like, I was, yeah. once you make that like $100, or once you prove out that concept, the hardest part is just clearing away everything else. And like, you have the freaking solution. Everybody wants to just ask a bunch of questions and not try things. They want to be like, what's the path? How do I make more money? Well, you just have to keep trying until it works. And then you have to do it again. And like, there are these things that you do in your business that move the needle.
Right.
What things are you doing that are actually contributed to the bottom line? For me, it was like, yeah, I could learn Google Analytics. Yeah, I could learn about customer targeting. Like, that's all fun stuff I can learn later. But like, what is going to actually get me to my goal? And that's pretty much, for me, it's how many products have you uploaded and where are they? That's the simplest equation. So it helps me to focus on that.
Exactly. I think being able to say no is like the most powerful thing you can do, because if you're saying yes to everything, like, I mean, I started saying no to like doing the different influencer type of services, because I wasn't able to provide them with the level of service that I wanted to, because I was focusing on other things like Merch Along. And so if I keep saying yes to all these different things, it just, you know, it becomes undoable, I guess you could say, or your level of your quality drops dramatically and you can't provide the level of service you want to, or that the person deserves that you're trying to help out. So, saying no is really important.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I was going to bring up was, you did mention that you have some listings on Germany.
Yeah.
So you said you made some sales. That's great to hear. Are you like translating your listings at all, or?
No, it's the weirdest thing. So Merch has done that for me. And it's really funny because some of the shirts I sell are like very niche down into like a very specific subgenre of music. And it's like, it's really hilarious to take the translations and put them back through Google Translate and see what they come out to. But
it's crazy. Yeah. I did do some listings with Germany, and like some of the words that they have, like I was looking for a word for something really simple, like cute or something like that. So I typed it into Google Translate, and it was a long freaking word. I was like, I don't know if I can fit that in my title, you know?
Yeah.
And like most of the time I'm just looking at the screen like, wait, what is that? Huh? Like it's a whole different language, and it takes a lot to really translate all that stuff. But I am excited that they have that available for us. So, you know.
Yeah. One thing that I've been trying to look at to decide what platforms I want to spend my time on is you can just throw the website in similarweb.com and you just see the traffic that's going there. Like I know you mentioned you're on Redbubble now. Redbubble's got 25 million visits per month, and they pay for like Google retargeting on your behalf. Right. Whereas Spreadshirt. Yeah. And then Spreadshirt only combined one, like all their international sites, they're only doing like 9 million a month. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to spend your time somewhere and the margins are similar, which on Redbubble, I think they're probably a bit higher. Like that's where I'm going to spend my time. Then I'll get to Spreadshirt. Then I'll get to like, and TeePublic is even lower on that. So
glad you said that. I have a POD upload challenge going on right now. Where I'm trying to upload to like the various platforms, like Merch by Amazon, Etsy, Spreadshirt, and Redbubble, and Teespring as well. But I kind of broke it down. So I finished out Merch, and then after that, I went to Etsy because I feel like those are like the best platforms to be on. And then after that, I was kind of decided which one to go to after that. And then I decided to go to Spreadshirt. But given the information you just told me right now, I probably would have started off with Redbubble.
Yeah. And just my sales on Redbubble are much better than they are on Spreadshirt with designs held the same. I see more success on there. That's where I would go next. For me, it would be Etsy, like Merch, and then Redbubble.
Nice.
How is Spreadshirt doing for you? Is it all right, or is it slow, or is it?
I haven't made any sales yet. Same thing with everything. I haven't made any sales with Redbubble, Spreadshirt, or Teespring. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big. I like Teespring. Like the platform is very easy to use, but I feel like they really push marketing your products on other social media, like Facebook and stuff. Yeah. I'm not really trying to do all that right now, but I think the other platforms like Redbubble and Spreadshirt is a great platform. I might push off Teespring because I don't really want to do that right now. I did sell on Cafe Press. I didn't really like that one at all. It seemed a little confusing. So yep. I dip my toes into everything pretty much.
Cool.
Yeah.
One note on Teespring. I do get a sale every other day from shirts we uploaded all last year. This year we haven't uploaded there, but I think it's because of their extended network mainly. So they upload your shirt to Walmart.com and like I think it's eBay and also Amazon, various different networks, and so those are just extra traffic. They're bringing in extra traffic and sales.
I saw it on there, but they want you to make a sale first, and then that's when they start pushing out your listings. That's what I saw on there.
Like, I see. Interesting.
I haven't made any sales yet, so they're not doing that for me.
Sure. Interesting. Okay. Redbubble definitely. Yeah, Redbubble.
Oh yeah, I'm still uploading to that. In fact, I'm gonna start getting my designers. I'm gonna start training my designers to upload to these different platforms. So this week, I'm gonna train one of my designers to upload to Redbubble now because it has like more importance. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna start doing that, and then eventually, I want to grow my team like how you guys have it. I only have one designer right now, but I do have plans to hire another designer/uploader, and that's how I just want to go, you know, from then on, and then eventually, like another year or two, I could probably hire on another designer. So pretty much my game plan for right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are scared of outsourcing. I've heard that narrative. Like, are they going to steal my designs? Are they going to sell them? What if I give them access? And that, frankly, in my experience, that narrative is BS. Because if you can hire good people want to work for you. You can find reviews on people who want to work for you. Like, if you go on Upwork, you can see like actual reviews from other clients. When you go interview for a job, they can't read a review on you. I mean, they can call your references, but at the end of the day, how much more transparency do you want? Like, I've had, you know, if you're willing to fire quickly for people who don't work in your system, that's how you get to find the golden people who you can take care of, and they'll take care of you. I mean, it's huge to be able to take advantage of that. It's like you, duplicate yourself. Like you can make, who doesn't want that, right?
It's the biggest productivity hack I feel like there is. I just wish I had more money to pay more to I want more people on my team. If I could have five people and have one project manager that just manages all of them, then I just have to check in with the project manager. That'd be great. A 4-hour work week, whatever. So
that's right. Chris, last thing I'll say on Redbubble is make sure you're on your margins. Like you can play with your margins on there and the default might be 25%, but I found that like on products like stickers, you can jack it up to like 200%. So that way you're making at least, $2 or $3 on a sticker sale and not like 15 cents, right? If you're going to make the sale, you might as well make some money on it. And there's some other products.
You can decent sales with stickers, even though you jump the price up.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, they're sales that I care about, right? I don't care about a 15 cent sale on Redbubble. Okay. If somebody wants the product, they might as well pay me for it, right?
So. Yeah, that's like why I was on the fence about like merch by Amazon, because like the whole pricing strategy of pricing low is like, I understand I want to make more sales, but then that one penny royalty just isn't good, you know? So I kind of understand that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Cool. So yeah, do you guys have anything else you guys want to talk about? Ben, was there anything else you wanted to bring up at all?
My last question for you guys, just, for all of our audience's sake, is just if you were just getting into print on demand or merch specifically, however you want to answer it, like, I know I kind of asked a version of this, but what advice would you give to someone who's either struggling with it or just getting started on it, and, just to help them kind of avoid any potholes that you guys hit or anything like that?
Go for it, Shannon. Here comes the boss.
Oh boy. Are we going to school or are we going on a field trip? I like field trips more. I don't know. Let's see here. So I guess I'd probably start, like earlier we were saying, Merch by Amazon is the easiest platform to get started on. It just, everything's ready. So yeah, I guess I'd probably start there and, find a niche. I wouldn't start with just cat mom or dog mom. I'd be like making sure that I'm diving into specific things and being very specific about every design I make. Because now there's a lot of people, I'm sure you guys know, the market's becoming a little more saturated than it was 6 months or a year ago. So you have to be in specific niches and be deliberate about who your end customer is going to be. So you better figure that out before, that's what I would do. I'd figure out who that person is and who my design is meant for before I put anything up. So I would definitely, that's what I would work on.
Cool.
And then I'd run ads to get out of the low tiers and get bumped up to the higher tiers. I mean, you can sell your shirts to your family and friends and stuff like that, and that's fine. But, you can also run some ads, and instead of buying your way out of those things, you might as, by buying 10 shirts or 25 shirts, why not just run some ads and get some traffic to those designs? And then you learn a little bit more about what's working for you and what's not. And you can use that information to help you as you tier up.
Totally.
Yeah, that's really smart, Shannon. I think, if you're on merch, you got to get out of the 10-25 as soon as possible. Whether that's, Shannon covered that in depth, but after you get to 100 or 500, then you really, like, the only way I've seen success is in niching down until you unlock like a tier 1,000 and beyond, where at that point you can afford to do scaled designs, which that concept is just a graphic and then some text about like a location or a hobby or whatever, and you just blast them. I haven't seen success with chasing trends, so I'm not going to recommend it. So if you I would try to get on Merch by Amazon, but not to expect it to be profitable for a couple months. It's just not realistic to just go in and expect it to grow quickly. I would say you have to be on Etsy. Etsy's so cool. You can go find one of your competitors that you like really like, and some of them you'll be able to see all of their sales. Validate your market. Validate what products are selling. See what customers say. Look at the reviews. Go follow a customer and follow what they like. And figure out what sells on there. It's the easiest competitive research you can do is on Etsy. And I would say start an Etsy store. It doesn't cost anything per month. And then link it up with a supplier, whether it's T-Launch, whether it's Printful. It's not that hard to do. I would start there. And with your niche, put them up on Redbubble. But until those platforms like either take off or don't for you, I wouldn't go into anything else. Like three platforms is already enough time to be spending learning.
Totally. Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much for being on the show today. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to link up your guys' channel in the description box below.
Cool.
And if you guys watching have any questions for Shannon and Spencer, you can hit them up. And Ben, did you want to add anything else at all?
Yeah, I was just going to say, guys, is there like one place that is best for people to kind of connect with you or just find your content? Is that YouTube or just anything you guys want to plug, I guess, or talk about last minute?
Shannon, I'll try to do our podcast intro. You can find everything at merchlifestyle.com. I mean,
we put everything on there. That was spot on.
Yeah, thanks, man. Income reports, like whatever. Come see how much we're making. Come see how much we're not making. It's got links to everything on there. So
I agree. You guys have a great podcast. I do listen to that. Like even when I'm at work and I'm just like, you know, doing some work, I'll put my headphones on and just listen to that. So you guys have a great podcast, you know.
That's really thanks. Kind of you, man. It takes a lot of work, but we really appreciate that. And you guys are awesome hosts. Like we can really tell when people ask good questions and really put thought into having us on. So that means a lot to us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. All right, you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And we'll see you on the next video.
This was fun. All right, take care.
Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content. As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com.